Hi, welcome this evening. Welcome to everybody to the OIP Arrington's Plus product call. I'm joined tonight with a very special speaker who runs a fantastic practice down in Ringwood. David Broome has practiced as a medical herbalist and allergy tester for over 20 years. He's a botanist and various other things. But David, I just want to bring you in at this time. And I mean, you've been in practicing for over 27 years, but you're actually a director of the EHTPA. Could you just break those initials down and just tell us what that is exactly?
Yes, it's the European Traditional and Herbal Medicine Association. And basically, we're a group which has been put together to help with the accreditation process of alternative medicines in this country. So we will be liaising with Europeans on this point. So it's a very important move forward, really, in the accreditation process, so that we can be sure that in 50 years' time, and our children and students that are studying herbal medicine and nutrition and so on will actually be qualified to practice.
And you've been under the tuition of the Faculty of Herbal Medicine. You had the diploma in botany therapy, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, and also, David actually uses many different things, including does an awful lot of astrology, but also the curling photographer. Just fill us in with what the curling photographer is, David.
Yes, I suppose the simplest way to describe it is it's a very new technique for imaging. Some have compared it to MIR scanning, but it actually draws in a lot of other levels of human potential. And we're finding daily that it's actually telling us more about the human condition. And very excitingly, we can actually test foods, substances, medicines, and so on to see how effective they are.
And just to break that down a little bit, I think that many, some people on the call will have seen it, but I certainly have seen some of the experiments that David's done from the sort of life of a mushroom from an ordinary grown mushroom in the supermarket to an organic one, to one that had been cooked, one that had been microwaved. And I think when you photograph it, you see that actually there's no energy within that mushroom at all.
That's right, yes. This proves beyond doubt to me that the cooking process is very important, and as if we haven't got enough problems with getting adequate nutrition in our food supply today, a lot of people are killing off what's remaining in their cooking processes. So this is why it's so important to supplement.
So basically, when you've got a mushroom like that, it's actually been killed. It has no nutritional value by the time it's been
microwaved. Yes, I mean, technically, if you were to measure the ashes and so on, you would probably find that there were some ingredients in there, but they wouldn't be available to the human body.
Gosh. And moving on, I mean, obviously you've worked with New Age products for a long time. Just how did you come across New Age?
It's a little bit embarrassing, really, because I was actually introduced to it by a patient. So somebody I was testing for vitamin and mineral deficiencies and found it to have an exceptionally good profile. And I said, well, you must be taking some sort of supplement for this. And she said, yes, I am. And here it is. And she showed me this bottle of Maximol. I was very skeptical, I must say, when I first, spoke about it. But, I tried it for a few weeks. I tried it on our immediate family, and we had a general sense of well-being. A few things sort of improved. One member of the family had arthritis and suddenly started to feel a lot better. Somebody else had an immune system disorder, which improved. And basically, over the months and then over the years, it's become a standard recommended product in our practice.
And I think you've done, in cases we talk about the mushroom, but you've also done, you've actually photographed people taking this and what the results are,
yes,
within a person. Because I think that's quite a visual thing, because on the phone, sometimes
right,
you don't get
yes.
it.
Because one of the things that the curling photography shows you is that we all each have this energy field, if you like, in simple terms. Again, in general terms, what happens is if you get an increase in that energy field, you get an improvement in general health and well-being. That is a general statement I made there, because there are some instances in which the aura becomes rather enlarged due to an illness condition. But generally speaking, if you have an enhanced aura or an enhanced energy field, then it's a better condition. And we found that when we gave maximal to patients, that we decided we would measure the increase in the energy field at intervals after taking maximal. Of course, it was vastly improved if people were taking it consistently and over a long period of time. And in fact, we found whole health conditions improved with that. But it was interesting to note that as soon as somebody begins to take it, changes start to take place in the human body.
That's incredible. And you mentioned the word maximal. We'll sort of go into the details of what is maximal. But let's just start with something that's very close to your heart, because you very much believe in, you know, we see these television programs and you are what you eat and the food and everything else. And you know, you obviously as a practitioner, botanist, herbalist, will want to get as much as you can from your food itself. So, you know, just talk to us about diet and your sort of feelings there, Rachel.
Right. Well, you know, we're under deluge with diets, aren't we? Everywhere you look, there's always a new diet from one year to another, and then the previous diet becomes sort of comes into disrepute for one another medical reason. So, and frankly, people get confused about what is, you know, what is right and what is wrong for them. I think we have to get down to basics here. And in a sense, the answer does lie in the soil, because the truth of the matter is, and this is, you know, something which has been verified by government reports, that the condition of our soils is deteriorating by each year. In fact, we know, for example, that our supplies of calcium and magnesium have depreciated by up to 75%. In crops over the years, over the last 50 years. Spinach, which used to be a recognized source of iron, you would have to actually consume something like 200 cans of spinach to get the same amount as Popeye used to have. And it's this kind of statistic which is should really be on the front page of our newspapers, but it isn't. It's just interesting to know that the Ministry of Agriculture, a government body, has actually put together these statistics. So our food is basically going to have less of it, less of the vitamins and minerals that we require for optimum nutrition, which is one of the reasons why we do have to supplement.
David, what are the sort of signs of, you know, okay, so we don't take the minerals and vitamins, so what happens if we don't get them through our diet? What happens internally? What are the sort of conditions we see?
There are so many symptoms that I, for one, am inclined to say to patients, well, is this a deficiency or is it a disease you're presenting with here? So, you know, if somebody comes up with an eczema or a psoriasis, that could very easily be a deficiency condition. I mean, something as simple as, for example, a lack of sulfur, which is a trace element found in something like maximal. It plays an important role in the production of insulin. And how important is that to diabetics? We also find that, you know, various skin diseases and wounds and skin infections, psoriasis and eczema, respond very well to very tiny doses of sulfur. But where do you get these trace elements from if you're not supplementing on a daily basis? We also have, you know, things like copper, which we find, for example, you know, your punnet of watercress, which costs you a couple of pounds in the supermarket for a few leaves, is now sort of deficient by 96% in copper over the last 50 years. And in it, copper is such a vital part of our constitution, together with zinc and cobalt and other minerals. It takes part in so many enzyme activities, such as food digestion. It also plays a significant role in respiration. So what implication has this got for somebody with asthma, for example? Another statistic is that copper may help to prevent cancer, especially liver cancer. And copper, like zinc, is involved in healing. It's necessary for hair, skin, and cell growth. I mean, and these symptoms apply to, these facts apply to all of the trace elements, all of the 67 minerals that we require, the 17 trace elements with amino acids and enzymes. And we just have to put a big question mark against whether we are actually getting those things into our system.
So presumably, you know, seeing the increase with children with the allergies and the asthma and the skin conditions and learning disabilities, etc., going through to, you know, more teenagers having, you know, obviously a lot of it's to do with hormonal skin problems and,
yeah,
and various other things. So are you saying to a degree that this potentially may be a mineral vitamin deficiency?
I think it's not really just a question of maybe. I think it mostly is. Amazing results have been obtained from trials which were done on criminal behavior, for example. Because if somebody is not getting adequate nutrition, it will affect the neuroendocrine system and the way people think, their emotions. And certainly things like ADHD and this sort of problem that is occurring with young children today in schools, attention deficit disorder, I mean, that can well be down to, for example, a zinc deficiency. Or at the very least, a deficiency in that particular mineral will make that condition worse. And the only alternative that a parent has is to go along with the doctor's advice to give one of the 12 most dangerous drugs in the world, Ritalin, to their children, which in effect could be actually liver toxic and cause tremendous harm. So, you know, the other side of this issue is that, you know, what is the better option? Is it the better option to use a drug with potentially very harmful side effects to attempt to cure a condition, or to allow the body to heal itself by just merely supplying it with the basic nutrients that it needs?
Now, David, what's confusing, I think, for a lot of people out there is that, you know, someone could say, well, you need this, or you need selenium, or you actually need calcium because you're getting thinning bones, and that's a huge thing for osteoporosis and things like that. But it's not the question about taking one, is it? It's a question about balance.
That really is the whole question, yes. Within nature, you see, these things are found in a balanced state. Unfortunately, mankind comes along and messes that balance up. This is why we've got so many ecological crises now in the world. And I think that, you know, what I admire most about Maximol is its integral balance, and the fact that it is derived from natural product. It's something which comes from humic shale, and that is really a plant derived form of minerals, which is the best form for the human condition. And also, it's the balance, the fact that you've got all these little trace elements in the matrix. For example, something which seems to be very insignificant, like boron, plays an immense role in the formation of bone together with silica and calcium. But most of the time, people will only know about calcium. They won't know about those other trace elements that are needed.
So if you don't have the calcium in your diet, the body's got to find calcium to a degree. So where does it go? Where does it go to get these minerals?
Well, unfortunately, what does tend to happen is that the body will borrow from another part of the body, if you like, for any lack that it has. Under normal healthy conditions, the body maintains a tissue concentration of minerals at physiological sites throughout the whole body. But if it's lacking in the body, then an emergency system switches on. And this is why your body can actually be leached of calcium. And this is the basis of osteoporosis. This is what happens when people have bone thinning, because the calcium has gone somewhere else to be used in another process in the body. There are altogether something like 147 different diseases that can be caused just by calcium deficiency alone.
So, I mean, I think if I'm right in saying that the body replaces cells, you know, every second, and bone is replaced, I think a whole bone is replaced over a 7-year period.
Yes.
But actually, you think the bone is solid,
That's right.
It's always being replaced. And so, therefore, if it's being replaced without the proper minerals, is that why you get then problems with thinning bones and osteoporosis?
Yes, indeed. That's right. And they say, for example, that unless you feed a child adequately with these vitamins and minerals, in the early stages, then they've got a much more likelihood of developing osteoporosis later on in life. So it's important to develop a big and a heavy bone mass in the initial years, certainly up to the teens.
I don't know about you, but when I certainly, I think when you eat spinach today, it does taste very differently to the sort of spinach that I used to have as a child, which was very, very strong tasting.
It really did
taste fine, didn't it?
So, yes, that's right. Yes, and in fact, the same principle applies to most food crops today. In fact, children often don't know what something really does taste like, because they're so used to masking their tastes with crisps and sweets and burgers and so on, that they actually lost their innate sense of taste.
And I suppose it's like will be added things that are in, you know, the foods, like the monosodium glutamate and things. Now, you talk about Maximal. Maximal, it's a, what is it? It's a liquid drink?
Right. Well, the important thing here is it's also convenient, too, because, you know, it's not always easy taking a tablet or a capsule. In a liquid form, which is how Maximal is produced, it's a blend of natural complex vitamins, minerals, and trace elements in a very assimilable form. That means that it goes, when you drink it, it goes into the body. And there are one or two reasons for this. The first thing is that we're dealing here with something which is in an ionic state. That means that it's broken down into very fine particles, and sometimes, you know, 2,000 times smaller than a red blood cell. The secret of successful mineralization is that it's something which is equable for the body, that the body actually takes it and draws it into the system with ease, because a bad mineral complex won't do that at all. In fact, it will deposit elements and minerals throughout different parts of the body, but not inside the cells. So this fine structure of Maximal is one of the reasons for its success. It also, the mixture itself, it's not just minerals, it's a blend of essential vitamins as well. And what I like about it is it's not in megadoses, but it stops your body from falling, from pitching down below a certain level, which would be considered critical in some cases. So even if you're not quite getting the full amount that you need of everything because you're not having an adequate diet, it will prevent your body from going into a kind of a state of shock, if you like. Maximal doesn't contain any harmful ingredients, that's the thing.
So it's a bit like an insurance policy. It really is prevention in a very easy way.
It's the very best insurance policy. And, of course, we've got Junior Maximal now for children, which is... And how important is that, you know? I noticed that they put extra doses of the very things that children lack more than anything else, particularly things like the B vitamins and calcium and so on.
How would the B vitamins help a child?
Well, I mean, children are very often low on protein, and they're very often deficient in B vitamins because they just don't get adequate food supplies these days. I mean, the Jamie Oliver saga on the TV is evidence of this. And even today, there are a lot of schools that are not pursuing the policies that were set down with his instigation, but it's simply because, you know, children prefer junk food very often. So, I mean, again, a security measure here is to make sure that children do get at least a good dose of Junior Maximal before they start their day.
What do they taste like?
Excellent, basically. It's you know, a sort of fruity taste. I mean, children don't mind the taste. Some children will always balk at taking anything which presumes to be medical. So we never use that word in our house.
And if for any reason a child wasn't prepared to take it, is there any other way, any other tips of how you'd take it?
I would say just by dilution, adding it to a juice, and so literally disguising it so that you know, there are no sort of emotional repercussions, you know, about taking substances or whatever. I mean, it's just best simply to disguise it in a fruit juice, I think.
I mean, as you rightly say, you know, most children, you know, a lot of children will take things, but there will be children who just won't. So it is a question of, you know, just having that understanding, because
yes,
force negates, it doesn't help, does it? So, then how should someone take Maximal? Can we just sort of start with children and work up, really?
Yes, okay. Well, as I say, the best way to give it to kids, really, is in another liquid, such as a fruit juice. And I know people that actually do give it in milk as well. So, you know, it can be delivered very easily to a child. I mean, children take to liquids better than they do capsules or tablets. And also, you haven't got the danger of young children choking on tablets as well.
What's the sort of recommended sort of... is there a recommended dose on the bottle for children?
Yes, I mean, the recommended dose. In fact, in reality, I mean, you can give this substance to children that are younger. But because of the EEC laws, they have to recommend 4 years and upwards. In fact, I'll be quite honest with you, and I can say this because I am a practitioner, that I've given drop doses of the four maximal solutions to babies of 6 months.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm not suggesting that everybody do that, but what I'm saying here is that it's a very safe substance.
Okay, and someone, you know, sort of just generally for looking after themselves, prevention rather than any issues themselves?
Yeah. If we're going into sort of the adult sphere now, then I would say that, you know, one or two people do experience a little bit of nausea sometimes when they're taking a very potent, you know, a product like Maximol. People perhaps have something like Crohn's disease or, you know, an abdominal problem or high acidity or whatever it might be, some digestive disorder, then that can be helped by simply taking the Maximol in warm water. And in fact, I do recommend that to quite a number of people, that diluting Maximol in warm water is fine because it helps with getting the liquid into the cell membrane. There has to be a certain surface tension of a liquid for it to be able to absorb maximally, and warm water does help that, particularly if it's filtered.
And obviously, so that's sort of, you know, sort of middle age. And then what about, let's just go on to older people, the older generation, because obviously they need as much help as possible.
Yeah. Well, I think, definitely, you know, as one gets older, the stomach wall starts to deteriorate a little bit, and it is possible that, you know, some older people will actually have some digestive issues. So I do recommend they have it in a diluted dose. And you can dose between 15 to 30 mils quite safely. One has to take into consideration, I think, the size of the person as well. I mean, if I've got a 6'6" builder, you know, in front of me, then I think 15 mils today is adequate. But sort of a 4'6" elderly lady with osteoporosis, I'm not going to try and give her, you know, twice as much as is necessary. 15 mils would be adequate for her.
Now, there's a very important group of people that I think the message and the knowledge is getting through hugely now, but there are still people who don't believe it. And I think it's are the athletes and the people who are doing marathons and everything else, because they are seriously in danger of causing themselves all untold damage if they don't address this issue of supplements.
They certainly are. And it was in a symposium of the Australian Olympic swimming team that one of the doctors there stood up and said that a lot of damage was being done because of the lack of minerals and antioxidants in the diets of the swimmers. They were suffering from overtraining syndrome. And because I'm an advisor to Bournemouth Football Club, and I supply Maximol solutions to this League One club, you know, I do see the kind of problems that exist within that kind of arena. And when you consider that somebody is putting out that extra effort physically, particularly marathon runners, I would say, and long-distance swimmers and so on, they're going to lose a lot of magnesium. That's the mineral which mostly is depleted. But along with that, many of the trace elements that are needed. And in fact, you can develop all sorts of syndromes, and particularly immune system problems, if you fail to address that problem. That's the mineralization and supplying antioxidants to athletes. Women, for example, will very often suffer very chronic iron deficiencies if they exercise without supplementing.
David, I can't thank you enough, and I just apologize for keeping you delaying a little bit this evening, but thank you very much for sharing your time and your knowledge, and I hope that everybody on the call's, you know, taken an awful lot from there, because, again, it is fantastic. Thank you, David, very much.
Great pleasure.